Don't feed the wolf at your door. I've been guilty of feeding the wolf at my door. He comes ravenous and demands the best of what I have and won't leave until he receives the tasty meat he requires. What, you say, am I talking about? I'm talking about my thoughts. The wolf comes demanding that I feed into ugly, horrible, depressing thoughts and insists that I feed him throughout the day, scrambling to find the food he expects. More ugly thoughts. Have you ever had such a wolf come to your door? His appearance bringing unpleasant thoughts that, with his snarls and snaps, he insists you feed with more frightening or surly thoughts. Author Russ Harris writes that 80% of everyone's thoughts contain some sort of negative comment. And with the 5,000 to 60,000 thoughts we're said to have a day, that's a lot of destructive thoughts. If we don't close the door to that wolf and keep him outside, or better yet, chased away, we are going to succumb to those things. Psychologists offer that our thoughts are simply housed within our brain, that physical structure that responds to stimuli reinforced by memory of something good or bad. These thoughts then trigger emotions of either happiness, fear, or anger, and if left unchecked, result in action, harsh words, impulsive behavior, even violence. That certainly isn't a path we want to take, nor is the path that reinforces a sense of failure, that bad things happen to me because I'm a bad person and I'll always be a bad person. Nothing will change. Henry Ford echoed this when he said, "Whether you think you can or cannot, you're right." Simply put, what you think is what you get. This idea is perpetuated by psychologists who insist that we can't choose our thoughts. They originate in our subconscious brain, over which we have no control, they say. Yet they do offer the hope that we can consciously choose how to respond to those thoughts. These notions are encouraged by positivity researchers who argue that 50% of happy thoughts are determined by genetics, 10% by our circumstances, and 40% by our own intentional thoughts, constantly moving us in that direction, suggesting that we have some control over our thoughts and the feelings and emotions that result in them. Yet God's word takes us in a completely different direction. And even though the serpent enticed Eve with his deceptive thoughts of doubt, which resulted in rebellion, God has sent the Holy Spirit to reclaim our mind and reestablish our thoughts to be holier and healthier than the enemy has planned or tried to plant. Paul wrote the Corinthians saying, "We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ." While it's true that when we walk in the flesh, our thoughts don't match God's thoughts or his ways, they can be realigned with his. We may not have the human capacity to know the Lord's thoughts, but through Christ living in us, we gain godly understanding, because through the Spirit renewing our thoughts and attitudes, we are given the mind of Christ. How does this incredible transformation take place? Paul tells the Colossians to set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. And to the Philippians, he writes, "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." To fix our thoughts means that we steadily, consistently, persistently think about pure, right, and true things. Do we always win the battle? We may. It depends if we feed that wolf at our door. For our enemy always wants to take us back to how we used to think, feel, and respond. As Jesus told his disciples, "The words you speak come from your heart. That's what defiles you. From their heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. And when we were his enemies, we were separated from him by our evil thoughts and actions. Thoughts of fear, desire, and want dominated our thoughts. But we don't have to live enslaved by these thoughts any longer. We don't have to surrender to their control. Paul tells the Galatians to walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another in order to keep you from doing whatever you want. How do we consistently do this? James explains, humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee. In fact, James' teaching addresses his Christian audience, thereby recognizing the challenges faced by believers. He knew that the quarrels and fights among them were birthed by the evil desires at war within them. He knew they'd remain friends with the world, and as a result, the Spirit of God within them was earnest to remain faithful to the Heavenly Father, and hence the internal struggle they faced. Thus, James advised it's only as we humble ourselves that God's grace will abound within. We have to draw near to God, repent of our sins, purify our hearts, that the joy of the Lord may return. And if we think we can hide our thoughts from God, we're seriously mistaken, for Scripture repeatedly affirms that Jesus knows our thoughts. Thus, even if the enemy knows our weaknesses and tries to exploit them, God also knows our thoughts and seeks to rehabilitate them, taking them out of the clutches of the monster and placing them into the hands of the master. Moreover, God seeks to test our thoughts and examine our hearts, as King David realized, and he was relieved to find, "You have scrutinized me and found nothing wrong. I am determined not to sin in what I say." Then you are correct to ask, what happened to David when he spied Bathsheba bathing on the roof? Why did he succumb to lustful thoughts? David's son Solomon answered in this fashion, "I've always tried my best to let wisdom guide my thoughts and actions. I said to myself, I'm determined to be wise, but it didn't work." Why? Because he tried to search for it without God's help. And thus he concluded, those who are pleasing to God will escape the seductive woman, but sinners will be caught in her snare. Thus, we have to realize we can't change our own, all on our own. As Jeremiah noted, can an Ethiopian change the color of his skin? Can a leopard take away his spots? Neither can we start doing good in our own strength. This is where our utter dependence on God comes from. Paul teaches the Romans, present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The next point of victory is by immersing ourselves in the Word of God, for it is alive and powerful, sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, and exposing our innermost thoughts and desires. God's Word reveals our nature, and we can only stay pure, Psalm 119 tells us, by obeying His Word, hiding His Word in our heart, reciting His Word aloud, studying and delighting in His Word. The third way is to rehearse who Jesus is. As Peter confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." For it is the Holy Spirit within us that affirms Jesus is Lord. And the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will testify of Jesus. I have found this essential in my own thought life, for when evil thoughts come, I say the name of Jesus. In fact, I've programmed my mind to have his name spoken should such a thought attempt to crowd in. As Isaiah proclaims, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Praise also transforms our thoughts, and when we remember the awesome things he's done, our thoughts are shifted away from the darkness of this world to the beauty of his light and life. Thus, crank up that Christian music station. Let its uplifting thoughts and lyrics fill our thoughts with God and his word. Finally, beloved, it's restorative to remember the precious, innumerable thoughts that God has about us. We are always on his mind, and Christ actively makes intercession for us, and that we may come out victorious, ensuring that nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord, a truth which effectively chases the wolf from our door. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.